The Alabama Secretary of State says he will certify the results of last night's earthquake special election sometime after Christmas. Republican Roy Moore, who was defeated last night by Democrat Doug Jones in deeply red Alabama, is refusing to concede. Today, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer called on Republicans to delay a vote next week on their tax cut plan until Jones is seated in the Senate. Jones's victory means going forward, Republicans and President Trump may only be able to afford to lose one of their own votes to pass anything in the Senate.
Unless they try to pass things before Christmas. Our political strategists join us now. And this week we have Paris Denard, the Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Angela Riott, the Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hi, it's a great day.
Well, so say you, but we want to hear from Paris as well. Angela, you start. What happened last night?
I think that the moral majority won, and what we learned is that the moral majority is not language that can be exclusively owned and should not be exclusively owned by the Republican Party. I am elated and thrilled with Alabama, grateful because they surprised me. And I just want to say, like I said on Twitter, thank you to black people. 98% of black women showed up for Doug Jones. 93% of black men showed up for Doug Jones. Did they win the election by themselves? Absolutely not. But this is a group that has been repeatedly taken advantage of, not just by the Democrats, but by the Republicans and everyone in between, but by particularly in this instance, Democrats. And I think what we've seen is that when you make a little bit of an investment and you ask people who are loyal to show up, they do. And so I hope that Democrats use that as a model going forward. If it works in Alabama, it'll work in anywhere, in any state.
Well, something we were going to ask you, do you think Democrats have been, you know, taking advantage of African-Americans? They have more maybe claim to some attention now. But Paris, you know, there was a woke vote, they were calling it. These were evangelical African-Americans saying, you know what, we're going to take back the language of white evangelicals. We have just as much right to Jesus. Your sense on what happened last night?
Well, I think Jesus is colorblind, and so I don't think that there
is a
black evangelical, white evangelical. I think there are a lot of.
But that was their point. That was their point. I'm sorry.
And the point I'm trying to get to is that there are a lot of black evangelicals who are conservative and who actually vote. Surprisingly, on conservative values that might not be registered as Republicans, but they are registered Democrats who are black evangelicals. You look at Bishop Charles E. Blake, who's the head of the largest Pentecostal African-American denomination, the Church of God in Christ, worldwide.
Who would not call himself conservative, Paris?
I said conservative values and principles, who came out strongly against the former President Obama as it relates to the issue of abortion and on the issue of gay marriage. And so there are black Democrats who are evangelical, who are conservative in their values. Look at what happened with Thad Cochran in Mississippi a few years ago. Thad Cochran won that election not because of just because of the white Republican vote. He won because there were a lot of black people who came out to support Thad Cochran, and that helped him win that election. And they weren't blacks that were Republicans, there were blacks that were Democrats, but they knew that Thad Cochran could get it done. So to Angela's point, it is very important for both sides of the aisle to take serious the voting power of the black vote as well as the millennial vote who came out to vote last night.
Angela, one of the big losers appears to be Steve Bannon. Also President Trump, we should say. What do you think about their clout after the endorsements that they made of Roy Moore in Alabama?
Well, you know, Jeremy, I have to be honest with you. This used to frustrate me when President Obama was in office. I think the reality of it is, you know, you can be a celebrity influencer. You can be the president of the free world. You can be someone who is known to be a brilliant strategist that got, right, the president elected. And you still don't have as much sway as the voter who goes into that voting booth. And I think that we learn that in every single election. We know that all politics is local. We know a million and one of these lessons, right? You can use your influence to the best of your ability, but ultimately it comes down to the voters deciding to do what's right or what's wrong. And thankfully, Alabama did the right thing last night.
What's the right thing now? Paris, we're just hearing the president this morning. He's speaking with Republican leaders who seem to have reconciled, at least in principle, their two different tax plans. And he says, I want a vote by Christmas. Of course, as we just heard Jeremy say, Doug Jones won't be seated until after Christmas. And here's Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer this morning on Jones and how he might vote on the Republican tax plan if he's seated in time.
I've spoken with Senator-elect Jones. I have not asked him how he'd vote on the tax bill. He will make a decision based on what he believes is good for the people of Alabama. And throughout this campaign, it's been an Alabama campaign all the way.
So, Paris, should Republicans wait until this candidate who fair and square won an election is seated?
No, because the president has been talking about passing this and having it on his desk by Christmas. Christmas is on. Jesus was born on what we say. We
you
celebrate
don't know
on
that.
December
25th.
We say December 25th is the day that he was born, and that's the day that we celebrate Christmas, and that's what we should have this bill to the president before that time. And Senator Schumer knows full well that he believes that Doug Jones is going to be a vote for the Democrats, because if he didn't believe that, he wouldn't be so strong in saying that we should delay the vote.
But what about what happened yep. when there was a similar situation with Scott Brown when he won a special election? And then at that moment, the Democrats said, we're going to wait to vote on Obamacare until after Scott Brown is seated.
Listen,
boom, Paris.
Boom. But you know, Republicans are going to be smarter. We're not going to take a chance on this.
Oh, come on.
We need this vote, and it is important to do. But here's the thing. The president wasn't moving the goalposts. Well, we'll see what happens with Alabama. He has always said, and we can go back, they actually wanted this done before Thanksgiving. And we moved it to Christmas because it couldn't get done by Thanksgiving. But this is important to get done in 2017, and he wants it done before Christmas. He's been saying that for a long time. This issue should have been taken care of a long time ago, but they have been dragging their feet. I hope they can get
Paris,
something done this week.
You're using a lot of words and talking really fast, but you know
I got 4 minutes.
I substantially disagree. That doesn't mean you should take all four. This is not the Senate. Do not filibuster the people. But no, I think the important thing that we must remember is the Alabama people have spoken, and we know where Doug Jones stands on this, because we know where he stands on even the children's health insurance program, which is to ensure that that's well and fully funded. And so I think that they should have the opportunity to have their voices heard. It wasn't passed by Thanksgiving. It doesn't have to be rushed through Christmas. And even though it was not, we don't know for sure if it was Jesus' birthday on Christmas, it is my grandmother's 100th. So
well, she deserves a tax
for
cut.
That.
Do the
no,
tax cut
she,
for her
what she what she deserves, what she deserves is an opportunity to be heard and ensure that the American people are treated fairly. Those are the values of my grandmother, and it sounds like the people of Alabama.
Let me ask you one other thing, because we are enmeshed in this new battle front between President Trump and New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who, of course, had been critical of President Trump after women came forward again to, you know, allege sexual harassment charges against him. She spoke about that. And then he tweeted out, Paris, that she would do anything for a campaign donation. I know the president's spokesperson said, Sarah Huckabee Sanders came forward and said, your mind has to be in the gutter to think that that was a sexual insinuation. It has always been a sexual insinuation. Someone would do anything for something. What are your thoughts on that?
I think your mind has to be in the gutter. I mean, I think
then mine must be.
What?
I would go in there. I said, "Oh my God, I would do anything for a hamburger right now." That is not a sexual innuendo. But let's just stop.
What about when he said it about Megyn Kelly that she had blood coming out of her wherever? What did you think of that? Was that an innuendo?
The president has used that. He used that. The candidate Trump used that phrase before talking about other people. And so I don't think that was anything sexual right there, because that is a term. When you say blood coming out of someone's eyes. So look, we can make that a sexual term, but here's the point that I want to make. If you want to say that it's sexual, women of the Senate on the Democrat side, I missed you coming out and having press conferences denouncing what Cedric Richmond said, the congressman, about Kellyanne Conway being on her knees, saying she's used to that position in the Oval Office.
But you know the difference? You know the difference? He apologized for it. It was terrible.
Because he knew it to be...
Because it was repulsive, and he apologized for it. And Paris, I am dying for the day when the Republican Party will find its... I'm not even going to say what I really want to say, but find its soul. How about that? Since we're all on innuendos today, and start holding this man accountable. We're talking about 16 accusers in. We're talking about Megyn Kelly. We're talking about now Kirsten Gillibrand, all because he's threatened by these folks. Look at what he says when he's threatened by people.
Well, Paris, it's take it up. Paris, go ahead.
I just disagree. I think that these are people are reading into it what they want to read into it. The phrase "I will do anything" I mean, that you can take it
Come
to the
on.
Gutter
it's
if
one
you
thing
want
for
to.
You, but isn't it one thing for you to say, I will do anything, and someone else to winkingly say, she will do anything?
When did he wink? Be real. When did he wink?
Parenthetically.
Right. Come on, Paris.
Parentheses are winks. Hey.
You can read into it if you want to, and I think that's the danger that we do.
You don't have to read very
but
far.
Paris, real
this
quick question.
This is a question. Dr. Seuss book.
Quick question, though, Paris. We only have less than a minute. Don't you think that elevated her somewhat? I mean, she's getting support. She's getting donations. Do you think it backfires?
If she look, she knows what she's doing, and she had her
she
own issues
a couple.
She had her own issues a couple of weeks ago when it came out what she said about the Clintons, and so she goes back and forth, and she has her own issues to deal with where as it relates to women and women issues. Okay. But again, I go back to the point: if President Trump felt he said something wrong, he would apologize for it. But there was no innuendo. Cedric Richmond knew he said something that was wrong, and it was derogatory. And the Democrat women of the Congress did not stand up for women; they were silent
That's
because it was
true.
A Republican
That's
that was attacked.
That's,
all right, we're going to leave it at that.
That's it. Paris Denard, Republican strategist, and Angela Rye, Democratic strategist. We didn't even get to say farewell to Omarosa, who's leaving the White House.
Bye,
farewell,
girl.
Thanks to both
Bye.
Of you.
Bye.
Thank you. It's here and now.